Okay, so I got my bucket of popcorn here. I brought a soda in that I'm going to crack right now. I have done my homework. I've seen the Friends of Eddie Coyle, and I am very excited because we are launching a new segment today where you learn and hopefully watch along with us. It's called Set in Boston, where movie critics teach us about films set or made in Boston. So did you do your homework? Did you watch The Friends of Eddie Coyle? And if you didn't, don't worry. We're still going to learn a ton because with us here in Studio 2, two people who totally do their homework when it comes to films, Ty Burr is the creator of the Substack e-newsletter Ty Burr's Watch List, and Allison Johnson is the editor-in-chief at theyoungfolks.com and film critic at cambridgedaily.com. Ty, welcome back.
Thank you, Tiziana.
Allie, welcome.
Thank you.
Are you guys popcorn eaters? Can I pour some out for you here?
We were just talking about, I'm actually the movie critic who doesn't like popcorn.
You don't like popcorn. Okay,
and everywhere I go, people say, you're a movie critic, here's some popcorn.
Thank you.
I want you to know popcorn is sacred food in my family.
Okay.
It's got butter on it and everything. All right, so Ty.
I'm a junior mints guy. What can I tell you?
Oh, yes. I'm fully in support of that, actually.
Good.
All right. So when we approached you about doing Set in Boston, you said we should start with the film The Friends of Eddie Coyle. And I will admit, when I watched it, two things at the same time, I thought, okay, I get it. And I also thought, why? So tell us, why did we start with The Friends of Eddie Coyle?
Because it is the first Boston crime movie and the template for everything that followed. Really, it took a couple of decade or two to kick in. But all of the movies that people think of as Boston movies, especially everybody in the rest of the country, and I'm thinking Mystic River, and I'm thinking Gone Baby Gone, and The Town, and The Departed, or The Departed, or however you want to say it, they all have their roots in The Friends of Eddie Coyle, and not just the movie. We can talk about that in a bit. But the characters, the attitude, the locations, it's all there in this one movie.
And it came from a book.
Yes. It was came from a book written by George V. Higgins, who was a criminal attorney in the I believe the state's attorney office, and knew these people, and wrote a number of books, some of which have been turned into movies. Friends of Eddie Coyle was his first, and his books, they're remarkable reading. They're 90% dialogue, and they're. I think Allie, you put it best when we were talking. You said, you know, it was brutal.
Yeah, it's a really lean movie, and it's sad and tragic, and I feel like it just gets this realism with people in the area. I just think there's a humanity in how, you know, swiftly everything just goes downhill.
Yeah.
You know, they don't play it out.
All right, so let's talk through the plot just a little bit for people. And Allie, I'll stay with you for a minute. So, you know, the Friends of is facetious, clearly,
yes.
Because Eddie Coyle very quickly, played by Robert Mitchum, it becomes very clear this is a friendless guy, a guy who's living on the margins of society, using crime to try to make a living. It clearly doesn't pay that well. And there's a sense from the beginning, I think, Allie, that this is just not going to end well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think there's that impending sense of doom. And even though it's kind of a small scale, you know, it's always just a very personal relationships. It's never going to be this huge, you know, shootout that happens with people. But it's just the continual being let down by people he thinks he's friends with. And I think that's what makes it more tragic, too, is I think he doesn't realize he's friendless. It's more that everybody else knows that he's replaceable and expendable. But yeah, no, I think from the opening moments, and just the way that Robert Mitchum plays him is so tired and world-weary. You get the feeling he's not going to have a happy end.
So let's talk a little bit about the casting and what's the word I'm looking for? Patina of this movie, Ty. So I'm going to play a little bit of sound here. We just talked about Robert Mitchum plays Eddie Coyle. And Bart Tacci, our producer, could not help but sort of grade accents as part of the acting
of course,
we went along. So he picked a cut here that we can hear that with. Here we go.
Count as many as you want. As many as you got, I got four more. You know how I got those? I bought some stuff from a man. I knew his name. The stuff was traced. The guy I bought it for, he's at MCI Walpole for 15 to 25, still in there. But he had some friends. I got an extra set of knuckles.
And just for context, he gets an extra set of knuckles because the people who are upset about the guy winding up in MCI Walpole kick his hand closed in a drawer and it right. breaks his fingers and he's got these extra knuckles. So first, what's your grade on the accent, Ty?
Honestly, I think Mitchum does a really good job, in part because he doesn't push it. He wears it very, very lightly. You only hear it in certain words. He's not, you know, as you mentioned, grading Boston accents in movies. It's a spectator sport in this area. And we all have our worst offenders for, Kevin Costner and JFK.
I mean, sorry.
That's quite all right. Rob Morrow and what's the movie he's in? I forget the name of it, but it's just, that's the worst. Absolutely the
yeah,
worst.
I can't remember the movie, but I still actually remember how bad Rob Morrow's accent was in it. So.
I mean, it's once around. Anyway, so I think Mitchum does a credible job. There are other people in the film. Richard Jordan, a fine, fine actor who's no longer with us, who plays his connection in the... his government, his cop connection.
Yeah.
Who's trying to get him to turn on his friends. He overdoes the accent. He's a good actor, but Laura Linney once told me when I interviewed her, she said when an actor, and it was after Mystic River, she said when an actor hears that they have to do either a South African accent or a Boston accent, a chill goes up their spine. It's not easy.
So Laura Linney, by the way, now most well-known, I think, for our listeners from Ozark.
Ozark,
right,
correct.
Right. So, Allie, I'll turn back to you for a minute. Robert Mitchum is a rough-and-tumble, pleasant-looking but craggy guy. Most of the actors, Peter Boyle, for example, which we did a segment earlier in the show about Frankenstein, he's often well-known as playing Frankenstein's monster in the Mel Brooks movie Young Frankenstein. He's in it. This is a white movie. It's a white guy movie. There's a lot of racism, overt racism in the movie. You're a younger film critic whose probably first exposure to Boston films would be stuff from the last 20 years. This is 1973. How did you react to and take in all those pieces of this sort of classic Boston crime film?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it wasn't a film that I had gravitated towards to in the past, kind of for what you said. It's a, not to gender films, but it's a white guy movie, and there's other films out there that I haven't seen yet. But I ended up really liking this one because I think it never condones any of the actions. It's never showing it in a glamorous lifestyle. The whole point of this is how miserable it is. You know, I think there are plenty of films that do glamorize this lifestyle, that do glamorize, like, the triumph of bad white men who get to live large and on their terms. But in this case, it's a guy on the outskirts. And I think by making him seem so down on his luck and somebody who doesn't even really want to be in any part of what he's doing, you know, I think of the line when he looked at the machine gun and he's like, oh, that looks like a war weapon or something. And there's such a...
And he's a gun trader.
Yeah. And he's so frightened, though, sounding by it. And so I think the fact that we know from the start, like you said, that there's this sense of gloom, it made it easier digestible, because there are plenty of films out there where they're not condoning the actions, they're not condoning the racism, it's used just for shock. And so in this case, it's a little bit more easy to take in.
So
this movie is kind of the anti-Scarface.
Interesting.
There's a machine gun in that movie, and it's glamorized. It's become this meme, you know, for years.
Say hello to my little friend.
Right.
Yeah. So let's stay there for a minute, Ty. And let me just remind listeners, we're speaking with Ty Burr, who's the creator of the Substack e-newsletter, Ty Burr's Watchlist, and Allison Johnson, who's the editor-in-chief at youngfolks.com and film critic at cambridgedaily.com. This is our first set in Boston, where we'll be working with Ty and Allie to explore films that are set in Boston, that are to represent iconic Boston, et cetera. Ty, you picked The Friends of Eddie Coyle, 1973, stars Robert Mitchum, is our first film, because it is the genre setter. So if Die Hard set action movies after it came out, Friends of Eddie Coyle set the Boston crime drama. And we'll interrogate whether that's how Boston should be known in a minute. But first, use it to lay out what are the sort of stereotypical, now almost comical elements of a Boston crime drama.
You know, and to the point where it's now become parody. And I think we saw that there was a parody trailer Boston movie or Boston accent a couple of years
there
ago.
There was one called Boston Accent. There's a New Yorker one about the ever-present script, and there's always an Affleck and a Damon in it. Yeah.
Right, and it's always the Affleck you like least. I read that, too. That came out this week. The aspects of the Boston crime movie that are laid out in Friends of Eddie Coyle and really by George V. Higgins. You really have to credit him with it. And the movie sticks extremely closely to the book. The setting, it's not downtown. The one downtown place we see in Friends of Eddie Coyle is Government Center, which at that point was new, and that brutalist architecture that's hardly pretty. But it's deglamorized locations. The Kentucky Tavern on the corner of Mass Ave and Newberry Street no longer exists. The Boston Bowl in Morrissey Boulevard in Dorchester, which still does exist. All these places where people actually live. And location shooting is incredibly important to a Boston crime movie. That sense that you're in neighborhoods where people live, not where they work, where they live. And the bars. And the characters have to not trust each other. I think that's sort of a given in the genre, too, is that there's this low-level paranoia that there is nobody that you can trust. It is a white guy genre, and I think that carries a lot of truth. And the better films acknowledge that in ways subtle and less subtle. And I can talk about those at other times. And there is, I think, a sense of lowering of doom that in this movie is most explicit. But I think in other movies, even when there's a, quote, satisfying ending, a lot of characters don't make it out, that it is a fatalistic genre. Similar to sort of like the gumshoe genre that, you know, Bogart, you know, that James M. Cain.
The P.I.
You know, exactly. Raymond
Chandler
did.
The Dane walks into his office.
Right.
And, yeah.
But this is a more realistic, gritty, gray version that is a little more true to human nature, the darker side of human nature. And I think those values, those dramatic values, not only show up in George V. Higgins and his great heir, Dennis Lehane, but in the movies made from their works.
So just, you know, Allie, Dennis Lehane, his great heir, now we are talking Mystic River, Gone Baby Gone, Any Given Day, which is a book. The Town is Lehane, The Town. So all of those, again, in this category, which has become in the public psyche what Boston is. But we're so much more than that, Allie.
Yes, I think so, too.
And do you think that we've limited our imagination in film in how we express who Boston is, or in where people go, with the movies people will go see about Boston because of the power of this genre?
I think a little bit, but I think, you know, it's sometimes just down to the nature of limitations of shooting, too. I feel like it might be easier to shoot a crime drama because you can use different kind of sets. But I think it does limit it. I think it's the case also for places like New York a bit, where you just are so assuming of a certain city and how the people are like. I would certainly like to see more. And, you know, there was a TV show recently on AMC that I can't say the full title of because there's a swear that Kevin.
Thank you for not doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're welcome. That I thought really showed like the suburbs of the area really truly and honestly. So I think there's room for growth. I think it's just who are you putting behind the camera to tell the stories? You know, is it all white men? And are they all gravitating towards stories about white men in these kind of moments of glory or not so? Like, you know, if you diversify maybe who's behind the camera, I feel like we'd get a better output.
Okay, so I want to shift gears now. This is our first set in Boston with Allie Johnson and Ty Burr as we begin to explore films set in Boston, films made in Boston. So I want to now, because we're really looking forward to doing this project with listeners over time, Ty. Mm-hmm. We're going to do other films. So I want to talk a little bit about how to watch films. So the fun one is, what are the prime home viewing conditions for watching a movie?
Okay. And I understand that when a lot of your crew here, your people here watch Friends of Eddie Coyle, it's a 70s movie. It moves slowly. It is slow by current standards.
Yeah.
Allie was saying, well, you know, it's kind of slam bam and there's no side plots or anything.
Yeah.
But the way we watch movies at home is, I think, harmful to the movies. Turn off the lights. Put your phone away. Adjust your metabolism to the pace of the movie. Give it your attention. Friends of Eddie Coyle is not going to reward that if you don't lean in a little bit and try and replicate the movie theater experience. And I'm serious. Put your phone away. Put it in a drawer. Don't, you know, listen to it. Turn the sound off. Treat it as a movie in the theater and let it be the movie it wants to be. That's my, you know, my basic advice.
And Ali, what questions do we want? If we want to really engage with a movie, you're a film critic. What are the questions that you hold in your head as you sit down, hopefully in the dark with your phone away, in more of a theater-oriented experience? What are the questions you want us to ask?
I'm such an emotional watcher of anything, really, where your heart and your sleeve type person. So I think it's about just what do you feel, but also remembering the context of when it was made. I think so many people these days are like, oh, well, that doesn't make sense, or that wouldn't work, or I can see, you know, they think it's sloppy editing or bad acting without realizing the context of the time. And I think kind of learning to love those aspects can make the viewing a lot more interesting. So I think kind of just questioning how you watch movies is the most interesting way to approach to them, and kind of what you want to get out of them, rather than like making it a test for yourself. I think it's more so like, what specific elements did I like, and can I apply it to another challenging film that might be a little bit outside of what I would usually go for.
All right, so we have decided that we'd like to kind of try to at least a little bit go back and forth in time with our films. So, listeners, for our next set in Boston, we're going to look at a more recent movie that's a crime drama. And we have two options for you, The Town or Gone Baby Gone. And we want to know which one you want. So tweet us at Radio Boston to choose The Town or Gone Baby Gone. Or if you're a member of our texting club, of course, you can text us and let us know. Ty Burr is the creator of the Substack e-newsletter Ty Burr's Watchlist. Allison Johnson is the editor-in-chief at theyoungfolks.com and film critic at cambridgedaily.com. This was fun. Thank you to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking forward to doing the next one.